This isn't the BBC Light Programme.
The Tony Hancock Appreciation Society presents, very nearly an armful, a Tony Hancock podcast.
Hello, and welcome to our teaser for a new podcast, Very Nearly an Armful, a Tony Hancock podcast.
On the show, we're going to be discussing Tony's famous series, Hancock's Half Hour.
We'll have commentaries and discussions about the show and Tony's life with historical context.
So we're going to rate and review episodes and just generally get our geek on about vintage comedy.
We're your hosts. I'm James Griffith. I'm a lifelong fan of Tony Hancock. I've been listening to him since I was a little boy, sat at my dad's knee. Oh, why did I say that?
Why not? Well, it would have been a bit more strange if you were sitting on strange Uncle Trevor's knee.
I don't know why I said that. I've ad-libbed. I shouldn't have ad-libbed. I first got into Tony Hancock when I was a child, like most people, listening to tapes that my dad had lent me. So lifelong fan. Not much of an expert by comparison of these guys, but I'm really looking forward to learning a little bit more about Tony Hancock.
I'm John Street, a digital archivist and audio librarian for the Tony Hancock Appreciation Society. I joined the society as a teenager myself almost 20 years ago now. So having grown up listening to my dad's old tapes and from repeats and things that were on in the 80s in various states of disarray. So I've been a fan of Tony since I was about 8 years old.
I'm Martin Gibbons, president and website organiser for the Tony Hancock Appreciation Society. I first got into Hancock's Half Hour in 1974 when my dad recorded a series of six radio shows on cassette. The first programme was Hancock's Car. It was completely different from anything else that I had heard or seen, and I was hooked, age 12.
Martin, we're all quite surprised about how young you are.
I'll pay you all later. I first found out about the Tony Hancock Appreciation Society in the early 1980s and joined up. There were so few repeats on the radio and so few records or cassettes that you could buy. I just wanted to borrow and record the cassettes in the audio library, usually at a rate of three a time. At the time, the THAS, the Tony Hancock Appreciation Society, had far more episodes than were in the BBC archive. It was an exciting time.
And, you know, we're spread across the south of the UK from Wiltshire to Essex via Kent.
That was crib from me.
It's crib from you, yeah. Well, you see, you know, you're just such an inspiration to me, Tim. Those 70s repeats was how my dad got into it, because he'd managed to put his arm through a plate glass window as a teenager.
Now, you spoiled it now, mentioning it was the same ones your dad got into, you know.
Oh, well, my dad was a teenager, so he's a little bit older than you, Martin, but... But yeah, he managed to put his arm through a plate glass window and had to have quite a long time off school. But he came across this as a load of repeats. He didn't know there were repeats at the time. He thought it was a new comedy. He's remained a fan ever since, really. Got me into it as a kiddie wink.
I'm Tim Elms. I'm the archivist and membership secretary of the Tony Hancock Appreciation Society. And I also run the Twitter accounts. I first got into Hancock through my dad, like many other members, who was a great fan of the lad and the blood donor in particular. But more importantly, I remember listening on the radio when I was a kid to the recorded versions of the blood donor and the test pilot, which had been released on single at that stage. Later on, I bought a copy of the LP, Blood Donor and the Radio Ham. This would have been in the 1970s. And from then on, I got hooked.
I think I'm. I need to elaborate a little bit more on mine then, because mine sounds positively dull in comparison. I'm a lifelong fan.
Well, what was the very first episode that you listened to, James? Can you recall?
It would have been 12 Angry Men.
Or what, the TV version or the radio one?
It was the radio version. I only had the tapes.
Yeah, although it is the same recording, of course.
Yeah.
See, I had a few VHS tapes from the repeats that were on in about 85, 86, something like that, when I was a toddler.
I didn't even know they had the videos until I was about 16, so and that's when I sort of discovered them. Because as much as I loved it, I wouldn't, you know, I didn't have the means to sort of go and find these videos, or no, you know, you wouldn't have sold them in Blockbusters, for example.
I don't think there's any. No. I can't remember when the videos came out, but I remember in the 80s recording my own ones off the TV when it,
that's right.
It was they were on BBC Two, weren't they? And I remember having all these blank tapes and filling them up with Hancock's episodes.
That's right.
I don't remember them being commercially available at that stage. And if they were, they were probably hideously expensive, not like now. I mean, a blank tape used to cost... I remember, I often tell my kids this, when we had our first video recorder, it was around about 79, 1980, we got this video recorder, which we used to rent in those days. It's like radio rentals, and you rented this thing. Mm. And you went and bought a blank tape so that you could record things, and I bought two. And I'm pretty sure they were something like 20 quid or something like that for a blank tape. And in those days, that's a huge amount of money.
It was very expensive.
And then you used to have huge fights in the house. So don't tape over that, I tape that film. Well, I can't watch this, you know. And you only had sort of one or two tapes in the family to tape everything on.
That's right, and you kept recording over and over to record the ones that you wanted to see.
I can remember taking out the little plastic bit on the end to try and stop you from recording it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Same with the cassettes, wasn't it?
Oh, Mum's got Coronation Street on these. She doesn't want us to tape over them.
Not my precious sitcoms.
But then you could just get a little bit of sellotape and put it over the top. You were fine. You were still good to go and record back over it again.
If only I could go back in time, Martin.
Yeah. But I do think the Hancock on BBC video came out on Betamax as well as VHS. Oh, so it must have been quite early. Yeah, it must have been quite early.
We only had Hancock's Betamax, came out.
I can remember the first ever sort of televised version of it I saw wasn't even the proper Tony Hancock, it was the Paul Merton version.
Yes, I recall that at the time. I personally quite like them. I can see why people don't like them. I think he should have chosen to do episodes that were lost at the time rather than ones that existed.
And I think because of that, something like the Wrong Man
works better.
Works well because you're not comparing it with a surviving episode.
Exactly.
No, I think that's really good.
I remember the first one I obviously listened to, 12 Angry Men, but I do remember as well that one of the reasons why I was so fascinated with it when I was young is because I had quite a bit of a childhood obsession with John the Measurer, because I was a huge Dad's Army fan, because that was on the TV every Saturday and I would always watch Dad's Army with my dad. And John the Measurer, I just loved his character in Dad's Army. And then when I found out, he was in a couple of Hancock's Half Hour, that's when I really started to explore it. Even things like The New Nose, like the way he plays the Doctor, he plays it very, very well.
I think the BBC are about to restart from the black and white episodes of Dad's Army again this Saturday. Yeah. So it just seems to be always on, which is great for Dad's Army. It'd be nice to see a bit of Hancock's Half Hour as well.
It would. Yeah. The picture quality, unfortunately, doesn't stand up to HD screens terribly well. But, you know, some people have done some rather nice restorations that are on YouTube and online in various places like that. So managed to take out all that horizontal lines that you get on the picture tube, as it were.
Yeah. Of course, it didn't matter so much in the old video days, did it? Because the televisions weren't quite so clear.
The old cathode ray tube tellies. Well, I've still got one somewhere stuffed away in the back of a spare bedroom.
Yeah, I can say I've got fond memories of borrowing tapes from the Hancock Society Library, audio tapes, but then eventually the videos came in and the library started to contain the videos. So, you know, it was really nice to be able to see, before they appeared back on the telly in the 80s, it was nice to be able to see them again.
It's the first way that I saw a couple of episodes was borrowing them from the audio library, video library, and then copying the tapes, because, as I say, I had many and still have many VHS players. I think I own about three at the moment because I'm a hoarder. Need I say more?
See, I still don't think I've seen all of the available Hancock's videos, TV shows.
You've got to buy the box set.
My dad's got them. I just signed my dad up as a member. He received all this stuff the other day, and he's going to lend me the DVDs. Yeah, he was chuffed a bit for that.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Now, well, it's a really cracking magazine that we've put out this time, and we've got a nice bit with Laurie Webb, who was one of the original cast members in quite a few episodes. I think 9 or 10, something like that, off the top of my head, I think.
It's really good. I was really impressed with it. I don't know what I was expecting before I joined, but I was really, really impressed with it. I didn't even think I'd have a quarterly magazine. It's like, oh, brilliant.
What I've learned since being involved in society is the amount of work that goes into it. But you do actually need a lot of people to contribute quite a lot to get a magazine like that. But I think it's at the moment it's really good and it's coming together well. And the feedback we're getting is pretty good from emails and members and stuff like that.
So anyway, I suppose we should probably give a bit of an overview on what we're going to go through with as topics. I know we've decided we're going to do a bit of a blood donor commentary and talk about that. I think, Martin, you'd suggested television and the 50s resolution, hadn't you?
Yeah, I thought that would be a good topic for us to have a look at, the several episodes that fit the bill, and of course the change from radio to television as the main entertainment medium all happened in the 1950s. So it'd be really interesting to have a look at how Hancock's Half Hour really portrayed that back to the public at the time. And I think we looked at the TV set, the set that failed, and the impersonator as being some key episodes from that.
So what would you think would be an ideal one for an episode, James? Is there a particular one that you've got a yearning or to go over? I know we discussed the blood donor.
I don't have a particular episode that I'm yearning to talk over. I'm quite interested in the character and the character backgrounds, especially sort of even Kenneth Williams's character and then his relationship with Tony.
It's funny you should say that, because Tom and I are working on a special edition of The Missing Page that started on the, you know, this thing, the myth that Hancock got rid of everyone around him, including Kenneth Williams.
The oft-quoted line, yeah.
So would you say that one of the reasons being that Tony was very much a perfectionist and that he felt that the narc character was a little bit of a cheap laugh and a little bit lowbrow?
Absolutely, and it goes back right.
Because that's the impression I got by reading Kenneth Williams' diaries. Yeah,
You've got to be careful about Kenneth Williams' diary, because although we all know that Hancock had mental health problems,
yeah, he was very difficult
as well. And there's all things about that. But the basic of it is when you go back to 1954, and they said, in fact, before that, and they said, let's have this half-hour comedy. The idea, as we probably all know, is to have no silly voices, no catchphrases or whatever. Then Dennis Main Wilson goes out and recruits Kenneth Williams, who at that time was an unknown straight actor. Recruited him because in this part he played George Bernard Shaw's Dauphin, he did different voices. And he said, well, that's the sort of person we want. The idea was that when Hancock came up against authority figures like bank managers and policemen or whatever it is, you've got someone who can do all these voices on the cheap. And Williams was only paid £4 a week or something ridiculous. He wasn't even in the credits. But obviously, once he got confident and he did all these characterizations, he just grew, as we all know, to the wonderful star that he became. Mm. But the fact is that in the early days, it was quite important for them to get laughs. It was a new program. They used to look at the ratings every week. They used to have these feedback sheets from viewers group, what you'd now call a focus group.
Yeah.
And it was really important for them to get good ratings to get a second series. As anyone who watched Partridge knows, getting a second series is so important.
And it wasn't that popular, the first series, was it, originally?
Surprisingly.
Like so many series, though.
Yeah, what they all agreed was that, you know, if it gets a laugh, keep it in. That was the plan. Yeah. But once they brought it up and they got a certain amount, then Hancock said, look, you know, we really need to stick to the situation here. We really need to get away from this. It's not what we want to do. You know, it took a while, but that's how it came about.
Because I guess the Snide character, they ended up having to write that in because there was an expectation from the audience he'd be there.
Yeah, Gorton Simpson admitted that we were right.
Play to the audience. Good evening.
It lived at the end of the programme. So when they started the script, the first thing they said was, what's Snide got to do tonight? You know, which they admit, you know, in later life, they admitted behind hindsight was clearly not the way to do it.
No, but then the series started out surreal, didn't it, and became more realistic as it went on. So gradually
they were bashing out scripts at 1 a week, remember?
Yeah, that's true, quite a number of weeks a year, and then television and radio simultaneously, virtually. So the, he's not missing about, gradually disappeared over time, didn't it? Kenneth and his character, I suppose it wasn't the issue with the man that Tony had, it was the character of Snide. I think I read recently he got quite grumpy when Snide was put into the insurance policy.
Lewis Topperbit, didn't he?
Yes, it's like weighs about the same as a pig from Cheltenham.
Can I just, I mean, obviously we're talking about various episodes, but I think we mentioned this before, that this year is also the 60th anniversary of the Rebel. Is it, could we perhaps do something on that, or should we do something on that?
I think that would be a good idea. Yeah, I mean, it's a great little movie. We've got a
bit of a clip of... repeated on Talking Pictures quite frequently, isn't it?
Yes, it has.
We've got a clip of Paul Merton doing the introduction to it when they screened it, which the three of us went to.
And that was great restoration as well that they did. So, yeah, I think doing the Rebel sounds good. So we've got, obviously, Blood Donor, the Rebel, having a look at TV in the 50s revolution. Do we want to do another couple of individual episodes, or do we like the idea of things like the first night party and the creation of the show and that sort of thing?
We need to think about episodes. If they're going to do individual episodes, we need to think about which ones have a good backstory. I mean, the Blood Donor, there's lots of things you can talk about on that, which is great. But my favourite one, in fact, when I did a presentation up in the MAC in Birmingham a couple of years ago, you may remember, and they said, oh, we're going to put on a couple of episodes, we want you to introduce it. I said, fair enough. I said, which ones? They said, oh, the Blood Donor and the Cold. And I said, there's not much I can say about the Cold. I said, but if you do the airfield at the bottom of the garden, I can speak for ages on. And that's what they did. And that worked quite well, because that's got a great backstory. And you know, the fact that the set collapsed and all that sort of stuff. And it led to videotape and blood. You know, there's just so much there that you can talk about. Yeah. And you've got brilliant performances by people like Dick Emery in the episode. You can talk about that. But if you had something like The Cold or something, you think, well, what are you going to talk about? Apart from, John Lemaitre makes a good doctor, you know, apart from that, nothing else you can say.
One on the first night party, the sort of creation of the show, how the people came together and what they were doing beforehand, I think would be a good topic. Do you guys fancy getting into that one?
Yeah, that sounds a good one. And there's lots of stuff from the years just coming up to the first night party that we can talk about with Tony Hancock, and where he worked with Bill Kurt on Calling All Forces on a couple of episodes. So, plenty to talk about. So what have we got for the six? We've got Blood Donor commentary, Airfield at the Bottom of the Garden, The Rebel, TV 50s Revolution, and First Night Party and creation of the show. So that's five. I think the Lost Episodes one would be good, because that would be great to do an appeal for finding more tapes. So we can talk Hancock Collectibles, but it's the four, Blackpool Jungle, New Secretary, Horror Serial, and The Italian Maid, which were the four that were found in the last 15 years.
Yeah, but also remember, we've also things like the longer versions we found, things like the Fred's
Fred's Postal's great.
You know,
I love Fred's
Postal. My favourite.
But that extra bit with Bill Kerr where he's saying, guess what?
Which now, goes, I have to say, that's my least favourite bit of the episode. It really drives me mad, though, that does. Well,
it must drive you mad on the new one, because it goes on about a minute and a half.
The first time I listened to that.
And it's a short version.
The first time I listened to that, I was like, oh, this is new. I didn't realise it was quite so extended. It's about a minute and a half longer, isn't it?
It is quite a bit longer, yeah.
And
the other most amazing one, I thought, from the extended ones was the Anna and the King and Siam, which has got different opening music on that original, whereas all the repeat ones and the transcription service version has just got the standard opening, but it's got a completely new opening, which was pretty unusual for Hancock's Half Hour to do that.
Can we just talk briefly about how we came to decide to do this podcast and how it came about?
Well, you contacted us at one point, but it's something I'd sort of discussed briefly.
Yeah, exactly. When I got the reply, you said you've already been talking about it.
So. Well, yeah, I mentioned doing a podcast when we last actually physically all met up in person, I think, which would have been February 2020, possibly, or
January or February 2020.
Yeah, before the world ended, and before lockdown Britain, and sort of said, "Oh, you should probably do a podcast." You know, I don't think it was particularly embraced at the time. I think it sort of sparked the odd thought, but we never really came back to that until a few months later, and it's certainly something I've been quite keen to do, because I listened to quite a few of them myself about old classic TV and things. And then obviously you contacted us at the point that we were just thinking of formulating and organising something.
The timing of that was perfect, wasn't it, really?
Absolutely perfect.
the reason why I was considering doing it was because my brother, I previously ran a podcast, Jolly Boys podcast, an Only Fools and Horses podcast with my brother and a couple of friends. And then we took a bit of a break from that. And my brother went off and did his own podcast, One Foot in the Podcast. Should listen to it if you get a chance. Very good. And I was feeling a bit left out because we'd done podcasting together for the last 3 or 4 years. So I was thinking, what do I like? What do I enjoy? And I was walking my dogs around the village thinking, I'd like to do a podcast on Tony Hancock. But I remember thinking to myself, I can't do this without getting in touch with the society, because I think I emailed Martin, I said, I kind of want your blessing, really, to be able to move forward with this, because I just didn't want to do it and appear to stand on anyone's toes. But luckily, you guys were so very welcoming. And then very, very quickly, in a lockdown Britain, we had a Zoom meeting, which I don't think would have happened because we are at different ends of the country. Yeah, so it's been something that I've been very keen to do, and I was so glad when I got a response. And I think to be able to talk about Hancock's Half Hour is an absolute dream. And
well, it's nice to get together with like-minded people, and as I put down Get Our Geek On,
I couldn't believe it when podcast. I read that out. I thought, this is not me speaking.
You can tell that I wrote it, can't you? It's cheesy as hell. but yeah, I mean, I always thought a podcast would be quite a good way of actually getting some of our sort of archive clips out and things like that for members to enjoy.
And I know we don't know when this is going to go out as a teaser, but do we want to talk about Missing Hancock's being on all out on CD or on download?
Yeah, I think it's one that we would want to plug because it's one that we've been quite closely associated with since they started doing them, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And although, you know, it's not the same as listening to the original, it is absolutely a joy to hear all the wonderful scripts from Ray and Alan brought to life again.
And I'm sure Robin wouldn't complain if we got a few more royalties his way.
He would be very pleased, I'm sure.
Indeed.
So the CD of the last series is out on the 4th of March, and there is a download of all of the Missing Hancocks available in a box set, also available on the 4th of March. And both editions will include the unbroadcast episode, The Christmas Eve Party, which was pulled from the BBC schedules at Christmas, and we have no new broadcast date for it yet, so well worth a look.
And I think if anyone else has got any stories or anything, any information or anything that we could be interested in talking about on the podcast, it'd be a good opportunity to contact us via email, hancockshalfhourpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll get through some correspondence, and then hopefully on the first episode.
Why not join the Tony Hancock Appreciation Society today? You can visit www.tonyhancock.org.uk, and all the information on how to join is there. There are 4 newsletters every year and some bonus pages. It's a great read.
It's a great read. It's a great website. Did you know it's our 45th anniversary? Please do join. So that's who we are and what we're about. Coming in the next episode, we'll be having a discussion about what's probably Tony's most well-known episode, The Blood Donor. Watch this space for new episodes wherever you get your podcasts. And, you know, as and when you do give us a listen, please do rate, review and subscribe for all of our oncoming goodies.
If you do rate us and review us on iTunes, it does help us push us up the charts as well and gets us noticed and out there to more people. So please do leave a review, rate us 5 stars ideally. And I think if you keep an eye on our Twitter handle, EastCheamLad, just for any latest news on the podcast and when release dates, etc., there's going to be some really special episodes coming up. It's a big year this year in terms of anniversaries for the Tony Hancock Appreciation Society, The Rebel and The Blood Donor. So yeah, it's a really exciting year.
Cool. So I guess it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me too.
Okay, see you later.
Toodle pip.
This has been an official podcast of the Tony Hancock Appreciation Society. Unfortunately, it was not written by Alan Simpson and Ray Gordon, whoever they are. The announcer is me, Robin Sebastian, currently appearing in the saloon bar of the Hand and Racket.